I was born bold.
Worth, all the workshop equipment you need on the go. Download the new Worth app today. The value of coin remained the same today at $3.48. What is your coin worth today?
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson.
Just love having everyone join us on our final day here, and we're getting a lot of messages still, Wispy, on why are you finishing on a Wednesday, the 17th of November? Why is it on a Friday, or what is it, the 18th? Because we've had our holidays back-ended, basically. That's what happened. No holidays through the year. They've been back-ended, so we've got to get out now. Otherwise, we'll burst the salary cap.
That's why. I never knew.
You did so.
No. You've done all the negotiation on my behalf, and I just fall into line, whatever happens.
Not joking. I went to Dimboola High about 10 years after Timmy. Literally held every record in the back of the athletic record book. Very deflating, given he left when he was about 12.
It was a small school.
This is. We just thought on our last day it'd be great to catch up with some of our favourites. Our all-time favourite is a man who, I'm not sure how it came about, we loved his work, we read his book,
yes,
and we thought, let's get in touch with him, and he's been a semi-regular on the show since, and his name is Michael Lombardi, and he joins us. Michael, welcome.
Hello, Gary. Hello, Tim. Happy start of your vacation. I didn't know you burst the salary cap. That's a good thing. There you go. Enjoy it.
Yeah, we're only paying about 65% of the salary cap here, but all is good. How are you? How's things? I mean, we're not going to get over to the States. We both love traveling to America and have done regularly, you know, since we finished playing footy. And we can't get there. I don't know when we're going to get there next. How's life over there?
Well, it's, as you see, we've been rather entertaining with our election process, which is always fascinating. But and we're getting ready to enter winter here in the Northeast and in the United States. So hopefully our COVID situation is expected to get worse, as you guys went through. So with the news of the vaccine, there's been some a ray of hope and a ray of sunshine that perhaps by summer we'll get our lives back to normal again. And let's hope so. We've been fortunate to have the NFL season upon us, and we've gotten through 10 weeks unscathed, and now we have the NBA getting ready to start up again with their big trade and draft tomorrow. So at least we have sports to keep us entertained.
Yeah, well, you've got Donald Trump too to keep you entertained over there, Michael. How are you going to prize him out of the White House? What's your plan?
Well, you know, we might have to get a couple of the guys from The Sopranos to come in and have a conversation with him. I don't know. You know, I don't think he's leaving. I think he's going to be a squatter. I'm pretty sure there's going to have to be some form of an injunction or intervention. But I would assume there will be some resignation once they. I think what they're waiting for is to the seal of the election results by all the states, which then confirms it, and then he basically has no argument to move forward. And you know, look, he got a lot of votes. 72 million Americans voted for him, so you must recognize that. And but, you know, the other side got more, and that's what happens in a democracy. Whoever wins gets to win.
Are you fearful at the moment about COVID and what's happening over there in the States, or do you think most people are understanding and have knowledge about COVID there now in America and doing what they need to do to keep themselves safe?
No, I think we really don't care about COVID anymore. I think there's a part of the population that is still weary, especially old guys like me that are worried about it. But then there's the youth population. I think Halloween is one of the reasons why we've seen so many of our college football games canceled. A lot of Halloween parties were going on college campuses, and there's a little bit of an indifference to this virus that because of youth, you can overcome it. And so we've had that going on, and I think, frankly, people are tired of having their lives been told what to do. You know, restaurants here in the United States have been occupying at about 25%. That's due to go down. There's a curfew in most states at 10 o'clock. Everybody must leave a restaurant or a bar. So I think there's a real lack of patience as we move forward, as we enter our second wave, because the first wave started back in March, and it doesn't seem like we've been able to make much progress.
Hey, Michael, you know that I listen to the GM Shuffle, your podcast, each and every week. I think it's the best American podcast about NFL football. And you often talk about how bad the New York Jets are at the moment and how they should tank for the draft so that they can possibly pick up this kid, this new quarterback. Well, not necessarily a kid, but by the name of Trevor Lawrence. How is it that in American sport you're able to talk so openly about tanking? Because it's not something that clubs could possibly contemplate being actively involved in here in the AFL.
Well, I mean, part of it is because of the NBA, because of Sam Hinkie when he became the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. He openly talked about losing to win. You know, but, you know, when you do that, you don't create a culture within your building of understanding how to do the things the right way. Whereas the Jets just aren't talented. I mean, they are just not a talented team. And with Sam Darnold's shoulder being a problem, you know, they resort to Joe Flacco, who played well last week before the bye against the Patriots, but really can't consistently play well. So it's not so much that they're tanking or they're trying to lose, because the coaches certainly aren't. Their talent level is so below the level you needed to play well in the NFL, they have no chance of winning. Like Jacksonville, I think Doug Marrone, he's 1-8 this year as a coach. I think he's done one of the best coaching jobs in all of football. Nobody will recognize it because he's 1-8, but he's kept his team competitive and working hard every single week, and yet they're just not good enough, and they fall short. And it's what I call those, you know, we play 60 minutes of American football, and some of these teams are good for 45 minutes, some are 50, some are 55, and then in the last 5 minutes of most of these games, they just fall apart. That's what happens to the Jets and, of course, Jacksonville.
Michael, I know you've followed the Essendon Footy Club. You've come out here and you've had a look at the organisation. Some big announcements and changes have been made there. I don't know if you're across all of these, but they did a review after a really disappointing year. You know about the handover from one coach to another, and the review's come out and it's identified a lot of key areas that they've got to try and work at. And the four things they said, they've got to develop a winning culture, standards and accountability, honesty and connection, play leadership and development. I mean, they're pretty consistent themes around the world for good sporting organisations. Are you surprised at this from an Essendon point of view, what we're hearing now?
No, I mean, look, when I was there, I think that, you know, there's a whole separate way of trying to deal with players, right? You try to talk with them and reason with them. And then, you know, you have to have accountability and you have to make people have consequences based on your action. And any leadership sport, you know, you've got to carry a big stick, and you've got to make people hold themselves to a standard of excellence. And if you don't, then you can't create culture. And I think that you can't kind of complain or whine to players to play better or to do the things. You've got to demand it. And the only way you're demanding comes with results is by actions. And if you don't do it, we're going to let you go. You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. And I think too often, and as we move into this generation of dealing with some of these younger athletes, we try to appease them to get them to do it as opposed to demanding. And if they don't do it, we're willing to let you go. And that's what you must do. You must be willing to let the players go. You've got to fire some people to get what you want if you want the right culture. And I think Essendon needs to do that. And they need the players to understand that they work for the team. The team doesn't work for them.
Yeah, so you've got this unique situation from a handover position, and I don't know whether they'll go down this path again, but you had one coach. You say coaching it and allowing it to happen. I think reading Paul Brasher, who's the president, the outgoing coach was allowing it to happen because he was about empowerment and letting them have their head, and the incoming coach wanted to make it happen. And you had this clashing of ideals that would appear to have been the case. And it's little wonder in the end when you read the review that they've had such a disappointing year.
Yeah, you know, I have a saying, and they've never dedicated a monument here in America to a committee. Like, committees don't work. Do you ever see a committee that gets anything done? You know, they meet, they have more meetings. It's like people that are on doctoral studies. They never come to a conclusion. They just keep doing more research. Well, when you have two people in charge, you basically have no one in charge. You know, so it really has to be a paramilitary organization. It has to start from the top down. It can't be just a group of five guys in a band playing together and we're all going to collaborate on music. That doesn't work in football, in footy. It doesn't work in any real sport that's competitive. So you've got to have somebody who represents the culture. Because the number one job of any coach, whether he's coaching footy, whether he's coaching football or basketball, his number one job is to make sure everybody adheres to the culture. That's his number one job. It's not designing new plays. It's not coming up with new ideas or new schemes. His number one job is to maintain the culture that's been established. And once he lets go of that, and once he acquiesces to that, he becomes worthless within the organization.
Hey, Michael, we're talking to Michael Lombardi. Michael, there's been enormous challenges for coaching and teams right across the world during COVID-19. You've got two sons currently who are working on coaching staff across the NFL. What in talking to them, what are some of the challenges they've been confronted with that they didn't recognise from the outset around this COVID-19?
I mean, how hard it is to really practice and how hard it's been on their families. You know, on Saturday, typically, if they're playing home, they would get done work at 12 o'clock and they would spend most of the day with them at home. Friday afternoons, they would be home by 2 o'clock, spend time with their family. That doesn't exist anymore. It's the way that they've had to really lose family time with their young kids that has really affected them. And then, of course, the players, you know, they don't get enough time with the players. There's no socialization. You know, it's a little bit like our kids that can't go to school because of COVID. There's no socialization. So there's no team meeting room. There's no team dining room where players go in there and they hang out and they talk and they come together and they build and bond. And that's been one of the biggest concerns that I've heard from both of them.
What about the new young quarterbacks that have come into the game of American football this season? Who of those are you most impressed by?
Well, I'm really impressed with Justin Herbert. He didn't play last week, but I thought he's been really sensational. I think he's got a chance to be an elite player that can carry a team. And what he's been able to do from the time he left Oregon to the Chargers, without really a preseason, without an offseason, same thing with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. And then Tua has played three really good games. I'm kind of a little bit surprised by Tua, not because I didn't think he was a good player, but just how much progress he's made in terms of his ability to throw the ball with great accuracy. So, you know, I think this Herbert kid's sensational, and I think the Chargers have got themselves a player that they can build their team around and can sustain success and perhaps compete with the likes of Patrick Mahomes, because to win against the Chiefs, you're not going to beat them 10-3. You're not going to beat them 10-7. You have to score some points, and the way you score points in our game is you have to have a quarterback that can drive the ball down the field, and Herbert can do that.
Hey, Michael, I know that you love The Sopranos, and Gary went back and rewatched The Sopranos. I did too at the beginning of COVID-19 when we were searching for something to watch on the TV. Of the Sopranos series and of all the characters, who's your favorite of all the family?
Well, I got to believe Uncle Junior is unfortunately so much like some of the relatives in my family that he makes me laugh even when he's not trying to make me laugh. You know, his humor, I mean, David Chase wrote him exactly as an Italian, an American from Jersey. His mannerisms, his glasses, his ugly sweaters all fit perfectly. So I would say him. I mean, I laugh at his jokes even though he's not trying to be funny. I laugh at him, and to me, he was perfectly written. And much like any great character, you know, when you write them so well that people tend to take on that personality, and I think Dominic Chinase really did a wonderful job within that character. So he would be my favorite.
I was a Paulie man, Michael. I loved Paulie. Did he have a really interesting background and history himself?
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, he was really, most of the people on that show, like Johnny Sacramone, wasn't the character of Vincent Curtello, who plays him, wasn't an actor. He was a plumber by trade. Mm. And St. Pauli Walnuts was, Tony Ciro was also in the union. He was arrested for a couple felonies and, you know, and they kind of fell into acting. And, you know, Vito, the guy who played Vito in the Joe Garagiola, he's a chef by trade. He does gourmet cooking in the Northeast. And so a lot of them were just kind of, they found them and they fit perfectly within that North Jersey culture, which is, if you ever come back here, it's different than any other place you could be.
Well, we'd only go there with you. You can take us on a guided tour there. Paulie Walnuts, that is one of the great names.
Hey, we're not making a Western here.
Yeah, we're not shooting a Western here, Tim. You know, I mean, some of the greatest lines of all time. And remember this one. Anytime your guy's on vacation, you'll think about this one. Uncle Junior once said, sometimes people are so far out of the race, they actually think they're in the lead. And that applies to a lot of people we deal with.
It does.
On that note, we'll say goodbye for now. We'll be back in touch, of course, in the new year. But we just
call me when you get back. I want to hear about the vacation and how all the kangaroos are doing on the farm, all right?
100% we will. And thanks so much for taking our call. You're always great to us, and
thanks,
we love
guys,
talking to you.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Lombardi there, who's a great man. And his book was fantastic. The name of the book was
Gridiron Genius.
Gridiron Genius.
He's got another book
and
he's working
podcast,
on at the moment. GM Shuffle. GM Shuffle.
So get a hold of it. If you're into footy and you love what Michael talks about, no monuments ever made to a committee. I love that. That's what Michael just said. If you like that sort of stuff, get this book, Gridiron Genius. If you're into not just sport, they'll give you some lessons for life. They'll give you some lessons for business. It's a great read. So you can get it online. It's no problem there. But and listen to the podcast. He's a great fella. I'm going to go to the break, and Benny Gales, I'm joining us to kind of hop on and explain to the Richmond fans about the Jack Dyer stand being demolished for a 60. Mm. It says $60 million here in the press release I've got, a $60 million revamp. So let's have a chat with Benny Gale next.
I was born bold.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin remained the same today at $3.48. What is your coin worth today?
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us today. You two Muppets get us bleary-eyed tradies up and about every day. Thanks for making a crap year that little bit better. That's cheers from Chris up in Bateman's Bay, Wispy.
And this one too. Love listening to you both every morning while I work on my farm. Your farming stories always give me a good laugh. That's a backhand to that, Gary. Enjoy your holidays and look forward to hearing you again in the new year.
Let's hope so. Benny Gale joined us the Monday after the Tigers were magnificent premiers again. And he's been busy, I see, since then. A $60 million revamp of the Punt Road Oval's about to, or hopefully, to be undertaken. But there is some difficult decisions in amongst that. And Benny's joined us on the line to talk them through. G'day, Brendan.
Yeah, g'day, Gaz. Good to be with you, mate.
Great to be with you. And this is, we talked about this early in the piece. The Jack Dyer stand is a magnificent part of the history of our great game. Jack Dyer's such a massive figure, and even more so at the Richmond Footy Club. But progress stops for no one. So how are you going to deal and handle the delicacies around this?
Oh, look, there's some obviously sensitivities, but you know, progress is important, and we need to work hard to meet the needs of the club. And right now, Gary, the most important tool of trade you have as a footy club is your oval. And we've got an oval that probably isn't fit for purpose. It's as our football has become bigger and more athletic and more powerful. It almost becomes smaller every year. It affects the quality of the VFL game and the ability of the players to really display their wares and develop. And perhaps more importantly, we're only allowed to play AFL women's football there, which we wanted to use to showcase. So, large the oval to get to MCG size, to future-proof Punt Road, to keep us at Richmond, forever, hopefully, we need to sort of extend into the footprint of the Jack Dyer stand. We need to continue to grow and evolve. We need to meet the long-term needs of the club and ensure Richmond stays at Richmond and doesn't have to look at other alternatives.
Hasn't affected you too much in the last 4 years, Brendan.
No, it hasn't, Tim, but I think it's amazing how, a kid like Noah Bolter, a run and a couple of kicks, and he's almost end-to-end. It does affect the quality of VFL games and, as I said, the ability of the guys to really develop this, to play their wares. And while we think there are some sensitive heritage aspects involved with a stand, we think there is much, much more heritage value in the Richmond Football Club staying at Punt Road Oval in Richmond for the long term.
Where is that at then? Is that a negotiation now? Because this has a heritage overlay, but it hasn't been listed as a heritage building. So where does that actually stand?
Yeah, well, clearly, this is the decision we've made, and it's about a football facility for men's and women's. It's about increasing capacity to about 8,000. It's about a home for our community program, etc. But it's subject to consultations and ultimate approval. So we work closely with the government or the relevant regulatory agencies. We work closely with them. And it isn't heritage listed, but there are some heritage considerations given where it is located within Yarra Park. And we'll work through those very carefully.
And I can only assume that they'd be very sensitive issues and it would take some sort of a negotiation to find your way through that. Would you consider rebuilding the Jack Dyer stand in some way? Could you incorporate that in some way in the new building?
Yeah, Tim, as you'd expect, we've looked at all possible options. I mean, it's the history and tradition of the club is very important to us. We've looked at, repairing it. It's currently condemned. We've looked at relocating it brick by brick, but it's just too prohibitive. We'll work hard to ensure that some of the historical aspects of the stand will remain. We'll form part of the new stand. Look, it's similar to the MCC, the member stand of the MCC. I think they've done an absolutely wonderful job how they've provided all the sort of modern amenity and comfort, but have maintained some of those lovely heritage historical aspects.
Talking to Richmond CEO Brendan Gale. Brendan, Richmond has been a ruthless football club over the years. Are you a little bit concerned when you start digging around the foundations what you might find?
Some of the old skeletons that GR might have spread along there. So a little circumspect.
Hey, Benny, Morris Rioli Jr., just if I can digress very slightly, wants to become a Tiger, so you must be excited about the prospect of another Rioli coming down to Punt Road.
Yeah, we are. Look, we haven't finalised formalities, Gary, but we expect that will be the case. It'll only be a matter of time. Look, he's had a fair bit to do in the club in recent years. He's been schooled in Melbourne. Look, he's very close with Daniel, obviously. He's Daniel's uncle, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we haven't been able to see him play much this year, like most competitions around the country. There's been interruptions, but different sort of player to Daniel. It does his sort of best work in a telephone box, sort of. That's how he sort of plays. He's quick and powerful. But he's got a lot of work. So, look, we're excited. But a lot of work.
Hey, I think you got enormous credits in the bank at the Richmond Footy Club, and I know there'll be some people who will be concerned about what you're doing, but I'm sure you'll do it respectfully. I, for one, think it's just fantastic. You're going to have to keep developing and keep moving forward, and good luck with it all. We'll watch it unfold and enjoy the, you won't get much of a break, but when you do, put the feet up and enjoy what's been another great year.
Yeah, thanks, Cass. Well, it's really exciting, and I think our fans understand that we need to keep evolving as a footy club, so it's wonderful.
100%. Yeah, Brendan Gale, the Richmond CEO, joining us there. Three flags in 4 years, and as has pointed out to me, Brendan made some big statements here 10 years ago that we all looked at and laughed at and thought, surely not. So that's what I'm talking about. Credits in the bank. This is what they've got to do. They've got to keep evolving as a footy club, keep moving forward. Mm. They'll respect the heritage in the past. I mean,
you're all for knocking things down. You're all everything.
100%.
You're all shiny and new. You are.
Yeah,
I'm more about heritage and culture and making sure that you have that strong link to yesteryear.
That's right. You'd still have a tree in the middle of the ground and kick around it rather than go cut it down and go through it.
Well, there were more entertaining games played back in the day, Gary.
And let me just look at my rundown. We're here for Coin, of course. Shop local with coin.com.au and win. And reminder, one more chance. We'll announce our final caller of the week today. And then we are, actually, this is not our last show, to be honest. We are coming back Friday week to give away the Toyota Kaluga GX two-wheel drive. Owner Toyota, download the My Toyota app today. So we'll announce the other caller of the week at the end of this show. And then we will give that car away Friday week, which is going to be very, very exciting. State of Origin 3 is on tonight, one apiece. So the decider, we're going to talk to Matty Johns. And then Georgie Samios is going to come into the studio. He's going to sample some of Wispy's wine. He'll take your calls, find out what wine you should be drinking over Christmas. And maybe T-Dollar and G-Money, maybe making an appearance.
I was born.
The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today. The value of coin remain the same today at $3.48. What is your coin worth today?
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson.
On our final day here for the year, Georgie Samios is out there with Tim's bottle of Fiano. He's just he's letting it breathe at the moment. Tim, I believe Matty Johns' show on 1170 SEN Sydney. It's only on a Friday, 9 till 12. He gets breakfast hamper, comes in on a Friday at about 7:45, and quarter to nine, they sit down, the coffee, freshly brewed coffee.
Did you see his rider, though?
What's the rider?
Well, that's all part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go on air unless he got all that sort of stuff.
Our final day, we can't get a half-style croissant. We have to pay for our own coffee. Do you know where the money's going?
We all know where the money's going.
He joins us on the line from up in Sydney. Matt. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Gaz. Hey, Tim. It's not kind words. I really appreciate that. It is going gangbusters. I received a handwritten note from, of all people, Walt Disney the other day, and he said, since being defrosted, this is exactly the type of radio I've been after, which is nice.
I'm not surprised that that's the case.
That's funny enough, I wasn't either.
No. Now, what about this State of Origin game? The Queensland upset you picked for our listeners, and they cleaned up and said it was an absolute joy, and then it was predictable that New South Wales would bounce back in the manner that they did. What are we expecting tonight up at Suncorp?
Oh, it's a funny one tonight because New South Wales, you know, got all the momentum, and it's New South Wales have got the talent in the team, you know, but, you know, Queensland... Mate, I reckon this is probably the most. This will be the most exciting game because, I mean, really, it's policy on the run from the Queensland government. At one point, you know, they've got tight restrictions on, and tonight they're going to let 50,000 people. It's a full house at Suncorp Stadium, and so you know, Palaszczuk, she's appealed to the people, and at first she was like, "Mate, no New South Welshmen are going to cross the border,"
yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you know, they just—it's free for all when it comes. And that just shows you. The importance they place on State of Origin up there. And so everything, you know, while it appears that all the momentum's going with us, I think in the whole history of State of Origin, we've only beat them, I think, two or three times in a decider up there in Queensland. And so I think both of those times my brother was in the side on that because he told me yesterday. And it's going to be a different style of game. And it's going to be, I tell you what, it's going to be a little bit different style of game. I think it'll be open because of the very fact, mate, you know, State of Origin in late November up in Queensland, it's going to be hot and it's going to be made. It'll make it really a lot of endurance. You know, well, it's going to be required a lot of endurance tonight. But I still think New South Wales will win. But, man, I think it's going to be touch and go.
Hey, Matty, I don't know whether text messages roll into your program while you're on air, but we get real live feedback from people. This question just came through. I hope you can answer it. How long did it take to defrost Walt Disney?
Yeah, it was a funny one. It's like one of those things where I had a mate that got a new pool put in the other day, and I thought, when you just fill a pool, I thought it'd take nothing more than, you know, maybe an hour. But bugger me, it took about 4 or 5 days, and same with Walt. I thought, to be honest, it's just like it'd be one of those two-minute noodles. But the big fella, he'd been, you know, all frosted up there for about 35, 40 years.
At least.
And so, mate, it took us about a month. And I've got to say, the last few hours, it was well and truly on the hooter.
I thought you were going to ask him about the text about Phil Gould. Is he going to commentate tonight?
That was going to be my next question.
What were we going to hear from Phil tonight?
Yeah, well, I can't answer that one. I'm not sure. I don't know what is happening as far as that. I think Gus will. I was really surprised last time when Nine took him off the coverage, because you know, I thought they'd throw their support behind him. Gus can be a little bit biased, but if you listen to the Queensland boys. If you listen to the Queensland blokes in State of Origin, mate, they openly cheer. yeah, I know in Grand Final night he was, I'd say, you know, a little bit towards the Panthers. But I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're allowed up in Queensland. They might be just calling it down the line in Sydney. I'm not sure what they're going
to
do.
I was surprised to learn how young he was, Phil Gould. I thought he was in his mid to late 60s. He's in his early 50s, isn't he?
No, I went to his 21st birthday the other day. I was surprised as well. I mean, that's a tough life.
Hey, speaking of people who are just handling advancing years really well, what will Wayne Bennett serve up? How will he approach this? We don't know Wayne very well. We don't know him at all. But we're told about his legendary half-time rev-ups. What's he going to have in store?
Gaz, I don't know what it is. I really don't. I suppose, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, blokes like Kevin Sheedy in the AFL, is that, you know, it's got a lot more to do than X's and O's. And Wayne's one of those blokes where, for whatever reason, mate, he knows exactly how to get a team going, how to get the individual going. My young bloke had a bit of time at Souths. For a few years there, and he was, mate, like, I've got to say, the 2 years that he's been at South under Wayne, mate, totally different kid. As far as football wires and confidence, he's just, mate, he's a lot different than he appears. Like, they reckon at training, like, the boys take the piss out of him and have a lot of fun. But, that that's another factor with State of Origin tonight, is the fact that, mate, you don't see Wayne lose that many big games. And so, as I said before to you boys, it's going to be really touch and go. I think the bookie's got Queensland 7.5 start. That's very generous.
Very generous. Very generous.
Yeah, it is.
Hey,
there you go.
We were going to have Cam Smith on our program yesterday, flogging his book, and they cancelled that. Now, what can you tell us? What's going on behind the scenes here? You blokes up in Sydney have upset him, have you?
I don't know what's happening. Look, I'll give you an exclusive. I spoke to Cam yesterday. He's been in talks with Warney, and apparently there was a problem with the advanced hair treatment yesterday. And there was a problem with the plugs. They tell me it's been rectified and that he's going to be on Vossi's show up here today.
Oh, yes,
so, yeah, that's what I believe.
Well,
anyway,
just telling him to bring our man the Wisp. It was he was battling there for a while, but he's now bouncing. Yeah, they go, all right, haven't they? They've taken a hold.
Yeah.
It's all good to go. Matthew, it's a joy for us always whenever you join us on our program.
I know that, boys. I know that. I've always said over the years that you two blokes are probably two of my biggest supporters, and it's been a great year for you blokes. You know, don't underestimate yourselves. It's been a bloody good year. It's your last show. Go and have a couple of drinks and enjoy yourselves. I'll give you permission.
Anytime you need us on a Friday, you can call us at any stage. We haven't had that call yet. Wisford hasn't been reciprocated. We're not needed up in Sydney.
No. And as you blokes know, vice versa, boys.
Thanks for joining us. Matty Johns from Messi and 1170 up there in Sydney. You can hear him on Fridays, I'm told, and I've got them all backed up on my podcast, Wispy, for Down at the Farm. I'm going to listen to them all back to back to back, but it is very entertaining radio, as you could appreciate.
Very, very entertaining radio, Gary. Very, very entertaining radio. And he's only on a Friday too, isn't he?
That's right.
Archie couldn't afford him for the other 4 days of the week, is that right?
That is exactly right. Georgie Samios. I've spoken to George all year. He's been a joy. He's been a revelation. I've clapped eyes on him for the first time. He's a handsome little man. He's woofing down your Fiano at the moment out there.
He's necking the bottle. He must enjoy it.
He's going to give us a no-holds-barred assessment of Tim's famous Fiano, and he'll take your wine calls in the studio, live in the studio. That's coming up after 8 o'clock.